Well, welcome for Holy Saturday. For the most part, we're just going to let our different guests that we've had this week share their feelings about Christ. But we're going to let Pastor Jeff, who you'll hear from his feelings about Christ in a little while and how he gained a testimony of Christ. But first of all, just talk about Holy Saturday for a moment. Thanks for being with us, Pastor Jeff McCullough.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, Holy Saturday might be one of my favorite days of Holy Week because it is so passed over. We don't spend a ton of time talking about Saturday, and the amount of significance that is held in that day following Jesus's words when he said, "It is finished." And he entered into a Sabbath rest of sorts, and there he is lying in the grave. And in a sense, it's because it is finished. The work that he came to accomplish in defeating sin on the cross was done. And we, even in a Jewish standpoint, are well to acknowledge the fact that it literally was the Sabbath. It was the day of the week, the Sabbath, when Jesus laid in the grave. How reflective that is even of creation, you know, where Jesus had just spent his life and his ministry and even the days leading up to his death, inaugurating a new creation, in a sense. He was speaking into the formlessness and the void and the emptiness, the deep, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, of the religious confusion and disorientation and misguidedness that had gripped the Jewish people and mankind, for that matter, up to that point. And when he spoke, "Let there be," into that formlessness and void, through what he proclaimed on the cross and declared victory over evil and sin and death, for him to then, just as God did in Genesis, he took a step back after day six and said, "This is good. It's finished." And he rested. He's mimicking the Father. In an anticipation of, in the Jewish context, 6 + 1 is always important. And that plus one then, when we move beyond that, is a new creation. And that is resurrection. This is Easter. It's when Jesus not just defeats sin on the cross, but defeats death in the grave. And he rises from the dead. And that then is the inauguration of the new creation, which we are being invited into. Saturday is a beautiful and important day. There's so much more we could talk about, even as it pertains to how we live life on Saturday quite often, where we are not quite sure what's happening, what's going to happen next. We're waiting on the Lord to do something new or do something different. There's a lot of anticipation of, we don't even know what, you know, what were the disciples experiencing on Saturday? Which we probably don't have time to get into right now, but it's not only an applicable day, but just a, I love to just look at it from the standpoint of the finished work on the cross as Jesus was bringing about the new creation. And it's really inspiring if you think about it.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm grateful. Perfect introduction. And now we'll just let everyone bask in your and other people's feelings and ability to testify of Christ as we think about him during those days in the tomb. So thank you.
Yeah, I actually, one of the things that impresses me most about Christ is the way he died. You couldn't, no human being would have come up with that formula for Messiah to redeem humanity. And what's, for me, even more powerful is the fact that his disciples chose to follow in his footsteps. Disciples, ordinary guys from around here at the Sea of Galilee, and they were fighting for the first places, and they were ambitious for getting stuff, for affirming themselves, for maybe even complaining and things like that. And they left everything and went through the same process Jesus did, even in sufferings, and forgave their enemies in doing so, just like Jesus did. And for me, that is the experience of the grace of the resurrection, because they could never have done that if they had not encountered the risen Lord. And our faith in the risen Lord is not an emotional thing built on some emotional intuition. It's handed on to us. It's a gift of grace that comes to us validated by personal testimony of these first witnesses of Jesus. And the experience of their experience of Jesus risen from the dead was enough to bring them to that point of generous self-offering in pure love, completely liberated, freed from any selfish passions. And this is amazing from a human point of view, just to imagine. So then my faith in Jesus risen from the dead is that this validates the entire gospel, the entire teaching of Jesus. And this transforms our lives. It completely transforms the reality of suffering, of deprivation, of injustice. And he suffered all of these things, horrendous violence, oppression, cancellation. And he did this with such grace and such humility. And through the resurrection, we are enabled to follow his footsteps. And since then, we've had martyrs, witnesses. That's the word for martyr is the word for witnesses. And we reserve it for those who gave witness by shedding their blood. It was taken from them, their lives. And they always did it forgiving their enemies. They didn't fight back with a sword or with violence of any kind. They died in extraordinary humility and filled with grace and forgiving their enemies. And this started with Stephen, the first recorded martyr in the scriptures themselves in the Acts of the Apostles. And it carried through to this present day, like we saw recently in the Coptic martyrs on the shores of Libya 10 years ago. And their enemies were actually filming them. And lip readers could interpret that they were saying, Jesus, forgive them. And so this is the authentic witness to Christ who is risen from the dead because his kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is on a whole different level.
Yes.
Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared. And it's prepared for our heart, our soul, our mind, our entire person, arising in body at the end of time, to be one with our Lord and with all redeemed humanity. This is the resurrection of Christ, the resurrection of his body, his own physical body, and the whole body, his body as the church, the mystical body, and his body as his spouse, one body with Christ. We will have such a union with Christ that is beyond our wildest dreams. And we will be totally surprised by all the people who have joined in that gift of grace and who have accepted that despite all kinds of limitations and difficulties. It is going to be amazing. This is the resurrection. He is truly risen, and he is truly risen not because he needed it, but because we needed it. And this transforms us totally, completely, forever.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much.
President Hinckley said, and I'll read the quote here, "Of all the victories in human history, none is so great, none so universal in its effect, none so everlasting in its consequences as the victory of the crucified Lord who came forth in the resurrection that first Easter morning." So I would like to declare my testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I firmly believe that his resurrection has allowed us to overcome not only the physical pain and consequences that we have from our choices, and sometimes choices that are not ours, but it helps us overcome physical and spiritual death and has given us hope and joy in our own repentance and salvation and healing and our own resurrection. And so I testify that our Redeemer, the King of Kings, my Savior, Jesus Christ, lives and remains with us. And he is with us every single moment of the day, ready to help us out. And I say those things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And thank you.
Well, for me, you know, I know Christ lives and God is alive, and we can see it working in such magnificent ways, you know, in our life, you know, I mean, by even looking outside, you know, we have life out there, you know we have a God. And so again, once we get the general idea about God, who is God, what he is, we understand that he's infinite. You know, he's infinite. We're finite people. You know, we're his creation. And so again, we get to see the beauty each and every day that, man, we have a God every day. And he's there to help us and to lead us and to guide us and direct us in the right direction. Because again, you know, we only have one life, as the scripture says. And then, you know, as it reads in Hebrews 9:27, we have one life and then we face God. You know, we prepare ourselves for that. And so there's a lot more to it, obviously. But, you know, just recognizing the presence of our Lord, we see how beautiful he's always there representing and being with us at all times. And so we see it in many, many different aspects through people, through nature, through many different forms, you know, how God is how he just expresses himself in so many ways. So it's just powerful. To me, it's such a powerful thing for me. I mean, I have really gotten close to the Lord the last 20 years of my life, and it just grows deeper and deeper, and through a lot of prayer. Prayer is a big thing, you know, reading the scriptures, acknowledging what the Lord did, you know, and then it helps you to understand your purpose in life. What's your purpose, you know, and how to balance life and how to balance what your purpose is, you know, and how to live that, you know, leave a legacy for loved ones and for others. And that's the key, you know, and so It's just beautiful how that just starts getting to be more important in your life as you draw closer to the Lord, draw, you know, that closeness to him with prayer and living it. That's the key, is living it. You know, a lot of times we can read about the Lord and yeah, that happened that time. No, but we need to live the scriptures every day. We need to live them. He's given us examples, and he tells us the examples. And so again, we've got to take that and strive to apply them into our life each and every day, because every day is a new day. And so again, by applying that, it just helps us to you know, draw a stronger faith in the Lord more and more and more. And it just keeps deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's just, you see how he was working in your life. You see how the blessings are coming in abundantly. And of course, we, you know, we're going to have trials and tribulations always. You know, we're always going to have that. We live in this mortal life. And so again, we're going to face that, but we're going to have that joy within us no matter what. We know the outcome. We know that Jesus paid a price for us, and he opened the kingdom of heaven for us so that we can enter heaven one day for time and eternity. So again, that's what we want to strive for, you know. Because we know that we don't come back to this life anymore. We don't say, okay, I'm ready to come back. You know, it doesn't happen. And so that's the beauty of it, that there's more to it. There's more to the end result there. So what we call eternity. So,
well, beautiful. Thank you.
I grew up close to where Christ was born in Bethlehem. My house was a 5-minute walk from the Church of Nativity, but I never really knew him. I had to travel thousands of miles to a town called Provo, Utah, to learn about my Savior. And I grew up in a country of conflict. I didn't know peace existed. And I've heard of Christ being called the Prince of Peace, and I didn't really understand why that is, because he wasn't born in a peaceful place necessarily. Mm. But when I started to follow him, I found peace. And I think he's called the Prince of Peace because you find peace in your life when you follow him. And when I started to follow him and repented, I felt that peace. It was remarkable, and it completely changed my life. He has through the touch of his hand, he just changed me. He changed my heart. And I'm really grateful because I went from someone who was very depressed to someone who was happy and joyful. And I know that he lives. I've been to the tomb where he was buried, but I know he lives not just because the tomb is empty, but because I feel a witness from the Holy Ghost to know that. I'm grateful that I was able to read the Book of Mormon, and it to me it testifies of him in a unique way. It brings his life, it gives his life meaning. And to me, it was not clear to me why I had to have a savior until I was told about Heavenly Father's plan for us and how much he loves us. I'm grateful for the love that my Heavenly Father has for me. And for years, I've struggled with my identity and who I was because I didn't have a nationality growing up. But when I learned that I was a daughter of God, it made a big difference to me. And I know that I have a just, merciful King who is also my Father and who loves me and cares about me. And I testify that he wants us to come home. He wants us to go back to his presence. And because of that, he was willing to sacrifice his only begotten Son and watch his beloved Son suffer and die. But I know there was light at the end of those three dark days, that Christ broke the bands of death. And because of that, I know that I could be with my family again. I was just sealed to my parents last year. And I think it was the most remarkable thing, because every time I went to do sealings in the temple, I was sad because I knew I wasn't going to be with my family forever. And because of him, I know I can now. And I just bear testimony that the Savior is the sacrificial lamb, and he was willing to sacrifice his life for us. And he lives today. And I'm grateful for that. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I grew up as a religious kid. I grew up in a church. My parents are very active. And I showed up every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday evening. Whenever the church doors were open, we were there. And my parents were devout, genuine followers of Jesus. And I treasured my Christian upbringing. But it wasn't until I was probably 13 or 14 years old, I was actually part of a middle school youth group. We met on Sunday nights. And that Sunday evening in the main sanctuary, there happened to be an evangelist, a guest speaker who had come through. And we had finished our service in another part of the building and then went into the balcony of the church to just watch the ending of his sermon, and there was a prayer time. And during that prayer time, Carrie, I don't really know how to explain what happened, other than the fact that the lights went on spiritually for me. And I realized, beyond just showing up every week, the significance of who Jesus was and what he was inviting me into supernaturally came alive. And I, as close as you can get to audibly hearing the Lord speak into my heart, that wasn't audible. It was a clarity of, I don't want your religion. I want your relationship. And when that invitation came online for me, it was almost like I then saw the ministry and the life and the death of Jesus in a way I'd never seen it before. That he wasn't coming to establish religion, evangelical Christianity, Protestantism. He was coming to reconcile us to the Father so that we can have relationship with him. Religion is quite simply a function or a means by which we can understand or have a context for that relationship. And when that happened, I melted. I quite literally, I think I physically went over to a group of people who were praying, and I fell on top of them and I just started praying. And I've never been the same. I think I was 14 years old at the time, and I've never been the same. I every fiber of my being at that point became indwelled and empowered by the Holy Spirit in a way that I want to be the hands and feet of Jesus everywhere I go. And that became my desire through high school. I went to high school at a small little mining town in Illinois that was 99% Catholic. And I started a Bible study, and it was me and 12 Catholics doing a Bible study every Monday night for a few years in high school. I went to a Christian school. I studied to be in ministry for a while and music, but also ended up going into the corporate world, but found myself back into this call of ministry. And just every aspect of who I am, whether it's in my marriage or my parenting or in ministry, I've always wanted to make sure that I have the opportunity to proclaim the life-giving, hope-infused existence that came online for me that night. And that is who Christ is for me. And that is who I desire to proclaim him to be to anyone who will listen. And it's everything to me. So I appreciate you letting me share that with you.
Thank you. Thanks so much. How do we know what we know, right?
Yeah.
And so the realia is an important element. I'm like you. Like, I have an intellectual testimony of the Bible and the Book of Mormon. There are things just from my studies that make sense, what I know about archaeology, the archaeology I've done. I am an archaeologist all sorts of things. I have an intellectual testimony of it. I have attacked it. Some things are tactile. Like, I've felt this. I've seen this. Right. I've seen healing. I've seen this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I know from that way. And all of those are important and part of it. But like you, I think probably the most important thing is the revelatory experiences or inspiration, or as you said, what you felt, those experiences, right? And mm-hmm. In fact, I remember a time hearing a Protestant who was kind of trying to give reasons to why people should abandon our belief. But he said something that was very interesting to me, and I'm not trying to say that because he said it, all Protestants would believe this way. But he said, if someone were to come to me and say, we have located the bones of Jesus, we can prove these are Jesus's bones, then I would have to abandon my faith in the resurrection. Mm. And he was asking, okay, so I think I've proved this wrong, which he hadn't, but anyway, and so you should abandon your faith. But I thought, you know, that's interesting because that wouldn't be my experience. I would say something like, okay, well, then I understood something about the resurrection differently. Maybe old bones stayed and he got new bones or something. I don't know, but I don't know. I know from revelatory experiences that he was resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever kind of evidence we're finding out here is not, I'm not going to abandon that because those revelatory experiences are so real and so powerful. And I hope that we can respect that you've had revelatory experiences, and I'll respect your revelatory experiences.
Yeah.
And I've had mine, and you've had your intellectual proofs and understandings, and I've had mine, and I'm not going to doubt that you really had those, and I hope you won't doubt I had mine.
Yeah.
And we can live at peace that way.
Well, to that point, maybe this could be a good way to punctuate this conversation, because we've covered a lot of ground, more than we were planning on covering, which is great. And all of it, you know, as again, I'm coming into this as a Protestant evangelical. So as I walk in here, you know, it's not my land, right? It's like walking into a home, a friend's home,
right?
But it's like, well, this isn't my home. So I'm doing my best to understand, to ask questions, to reconcile. So I've heard these things. How do we apply this? You know, the complexity of Joseph Smith and all these other things. So all that being the case, where it has even circled around why some of the claims of Joseph Smith lead some people to say Latter-day Saints aren't Christians or believe in a different Jesus. All of that being the case, you tell me out of the context of this conversation, as we kind of rise, you know, above the cloud floor here, why do you consider yourself a Christian in the face and in the midst of even all these sort of complex aspects of Joseph Smith that we just talked through?
I appreciate that question. I will say, for a number of reasons, the most important of which have been revelatory and transformative. I felt physical healing,
mm-hmm.
but I have felt healing and forgiveness. I have felt something that it was not possible for me to have created on my own in terms of spiritual and soulful healing and forgiveness. I have felt that come from the outside and change me. I have felt who I am, my understanding, my abilities to love, all sorts of things transformed from the outside in a way that can only be Jesus Christ. I've felt the Spirit bear witnessed to me in ways that if you haven't had the experience, you can't describe it right to someone who hasn't had it. But I've had it in my home, in church. I've had it at the Garden Tomb. I've had it in the Holy Sepulchre. I've had it in so many different places. Powerful, powerful witness that Christ died for my sins, suffered and died for my sins, and was resurrected, and that I can live again. I've had it happen at thinking about the deaths of my parents, and had that same revelatory experience. I can also talk about intellectual experiences, and those have been fantastic and wonderful. But in the end, for me, I have, and I've seen it in other people, I've seen people change in ways that could only have happened by an outside power. And I believe it was that atoning sacrifice of Christ. The transformative power changed them, and I felt it change me. And that is so real. Now I'll speak like Joseph Smith. I know it's true, and I know God. I know I experienced it, and I know God knows I experienced it, and I can never forget it or deny it.
Man, thank you for sharing that. That's where all of this, I think, hopefully, leads us to really access. You know, not that these other conversations about claims and evidences don't matter, but in that context of everything that we're talking about, for you to be able to articulate what you experienced there is where I'm ready to turn off the camera and be like, we need to grab lunch and keep talking about this. I want to hear more about this. I would say grab coffee, because that's what we do in the Protestant world, but I can't invite you to that.
as members of our church, we're lacking that social element, but
yeah, that's all right. But thank you for sharing that. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your expertise. Thank you for your patience with all of my questions.
That's wonderful.
Super helpful.
And I hope that me, you, and others can go forward differences, but as brothers who have been healed by Christ.
We offer our testimony of the reality of Christ's matchless life and the infinite virtue of his great atoning sacrifice.
His gospel was a message of peace and goodwill. He entreated all to follow his example.
He walked the roads of Palestine, healing the sick, causing the blind to see, and raising the dead.
He taught eternal truths, the reality of the premortal existence, the purpose of life on earth, and the potential that all of the sons and daughters of God have in the life to come.
He gave his life to atone for the sins of all mankind. His was a great vicarious gift in behalf of all who would ever live upon the earth.
He was the firstborn of the Father, the only begotten Son in the flesh, the Redeemer of the world.
He rose from the grave to become the first fruits of them that slept.
We declare in words of solemnity that his priesthood and his church have been restored upon the earth.
Built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
We testify that he will return to earth, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together.
He will rule as King of kings and reign as Lord of lords. And every knee shall bend, and every tongue shall speak in worship before him.
Each of us will stand to be judged of him according to our works and the desires of our hearts.
We bear testimony as his duly ordained apostles, that Jesus is the living Christ, the immortal Son of God.
He is the great King Emmanuel, who stands today on the right hand of his Father. He is the light, the life, and the hope of the world.
His way is the path that leads to happiness in this life and eternal life in the world to come. God be thanked for the matchless gift of his divine Son.